Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Hello.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Marie.
And I'm Julie, and we're brought to you by ProfitInJoy.com and also JulieHere.com.
And how are you, Jules?
Life is good. I wanted to share a cute little story right off the bat. You know, first off, if you guys don't know this by now, my mom is multifaceted, multi-talented. She's a psychopomp, which means she can, you know, she can converse or bear witness to what's going on the other side. She always had these talents. She has, you know, we've heard these stories when she was a little kid about the time she used her power to win her family a vacuum cleaner, you know, at bingo. You know, we've heard all these stories. And but my mom's also an open channel for, you know, the Holy Spirit, or like whatever you want to call it. Some people call it the council, but you really connect with the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And so I was in La Crosse a couple weeks ago, and I happened to be listening to a radio show, and they're talking about Padre Pio and who you like. And then I said they're doing a novena, and which is just 9-day celebration. Novena meaning nine. And there's this huge, and so I want to talk to mom about, like, I know you like Padre Pio. Why do you love him so much? Here's what I know. And we started sharing this conversation.
Padre Pio is part of my, or it used to be part of my triangle.
Yes.
In my bedroom.
Yes.
I always,
of the statues.
Yeah, I guess of the four, there's four corners in my bedroom. I'm considered one of them.
Yes.
Padre Pio is to my left, and St. Jude is straight ahead of me, and Mother Mary is to my right.
Right. And then Jesus is just all around.
Jesus is just all right with me.
And I say this little story because we've been, you know, kind of conversing a little bit with Padre Pio, you know, meditating on it and stuff like that. And during our, you would talk and I would type.
Right.
And you, afterwards, you're always like, oh, this probably was just total nonsense. I'm like, no, I just typed out 1,000 coherent words. You're like, what? That's amazing. And I say this because in the channeling, you talked about, Padre Pio goes, you know, you should take communion every day. You should take communion and bless the food and all this stuff.
Oh, my God.
So, and whether mom said this next or Padre Pio, they mentioned Amazon probably has the host. So, I set this up because we know that last month, mom ordered from Amazon a minister's outfit for our movie.
Yes.
And this month we ordered host from Amazon.
And they're probably going,
what's going on here?
There's a theme going on.
What's the theme here?
So we also tried to order a noose, though.
Yeah, we ordered a noose. They wouldn't let us.
They wouldn't let us order the noose.
We had to order just the rope.
The rope.
And then the rope's Google fine. How to do it.
Yeah.
But it looked beautiful on film.
On the mill film, yes. Hey, is a film up here?
Yeah, go to Christine, Marie, and Julie. At Christine, what? Marie, and
on YouTube?
Julie.
No.
On YouTube, no, but mostly go to Instagram.
Oh, Instagram.
And then they'll connect to YouTube.
You can follow us on Instagram.
Christine, Marie, Christine, and Julie, Christine, all one word, right?
And then you can see our
our
movie that was shown at the Music Box Theater last Sunday.
And I was so weird because I didn't, if I would have, they didn't promote this when we were there, but Dan Savage was going to be there the next, like, five days later.
The next week, Dan Savage was there
in
the Music Box.
Until we were listening to the podcast for a
bit. I would have understood, like, Wes, why my seat was sticky.
Yes. from last year's.
Are you finished with the Padre Pio story?
No. Oh. So I just think it's a cute, this idea that we got this box of hosts, and the first thing we're going like this, we're going like going.
They're, like, huge.
It's the, each, your first would go 50, only 50 hosts, and my mom's like,
we were supposed to do 90 days.
90 days consistently. Yeah. Every day, take communion.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, well, dang, I'll have to order a couple more boxes.
Yeah.
And I open them up, and these are the biggest pieces of hosts I've ever seen.
I could not get that in my mouth.
No. And I go, oh, we can turn these into that.
I can. What I decided to do, I was going to cut each one into 6 pieces, and we could make it through the 90 days.
Yes.
All three of us.
But it's been such a lovely experience this week, because truly, it's been Christmas in September here. Because you officially started.
Yes.
And today, you officially ended Christmas presents.
Yes.
You feel complete?
I'm complete.
We had done our budgeting. We knew. We did it.
Yep.
We ordered. We kicked butt.
We came. We saw. We conquered.
And here's what I love about my mom so much. I don't know if you know, I appreciate about you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Whatever it is, I'm thanking you right now.
You have this interesting sense of fairness that you don't like to give one store, one catalog, one online shop, all your money.
That's right.
You don't think it's fair.
No.
And so, and also compared to our local stuff too, you're
right.
Like, we got to shop some local, we got to shop catalog, yeah. We got to shop online. Yo,
we got to give Warren Buffett some of our money.
Right, because his money eventually trickles down.
Our money.
And also trickles down to, you know, Bill Gates, who can solve the polio situation, possibly.
And all the diarrhea.
And help the diarrhea.
Yes.
Yes. And everybody can have a good toilet.
Yes.
And possibly
and
help
climate change.
So,
works.
Yes. So, if you know, and I told Mom, I go, oh, you know that company that we bought the kids' gifts from, Mindwaves and Oriental Traders? I go, guess what? They're owned by the same guy. He goes, who? Warren Buffett. Good man, smart dude. Now I understand. And so forth. So it's literally. And I would like to say this.
And Amazon I also took care of Halloween this week.
You took care
week.
Of Halloween. Mm-hmm. Because we last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can we? Are we talking? Yeah. Last year, we found ourselves in Oregon, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we were at Nash.
Simultaneously,
we were working out.
Yes.
And on the board it said, tonight at the doggy park, the doggy Halloween costume party.
Yes.
And I went, oh, hell no.
Hell no. I'm in it to win this.
We're
bitch.
In it.
This is ours.
We had like 25 minutes before it started.
Yes.
We ran into Dollar General.
He gave me $30.
Yeah.
And I said, go for it.
I said, make a costume for him.
Yes. And so I had weird looking ghosts, and
yeah.
we just taped him on.
We called him Ghost Dog.
Yeah, he was not a happy camper.
He was not happy. He came in last place.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, last place, last but not least, Elliot Stabler Peters as Ghost Dog.
Yeah,
and by that time, all of his ghostly stuff was all over the dog park.
Yeah, he was like, this is not happening.
No, this is not happening. And I went, okay, next year, I'm leaving the dog park.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, Julie, next year it's on like Donkey Kong.
Exactly. And
but let's not tell what it is yet.
Okay.
Not until it's over with.
We won't.
And
but
we've
what you
won.
Did, right. But what you did notice is that the people who came in first in different competitions.
First and second and third place.
All had it was a couple.
It was a team. It was the dog and the owner.
Uh-huh. And sometimes
that
a kid.
Won. And yeah, sometimes it was. Oh, geez.
Which you know, I'm not gonna have. I'm
we're gonna
have
to
time.
Adopt a kid or something, or
yes,
rent
exactly.
a kid out.
Yes.
But I have
with
got.
With a limp. I think a kid with a limp would be awesome.
OMG.
Maybe they could wear braces. I don't know.
OMG.
And on their teeth.
Oh yeah,
because
we could
their
just,
parents
we could
can't
just
afford
put a
smile bright.
We could just put a stocking cap on it and make it look like the kids got chemo.
Right, exactly.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, I know.
That would be perfect. Now, the reason I said that is because I'm watching The Politician on Netflix.
Yeah,
and one of the characters is a kid in school, high school.
Yeah,
and he's chemo kid.
Oh.
And come to find out though, she's faking it.
Oh, geez.
Well, we don't really know yet.
For crowdfunding purposes?
Yeah.
For...
Well, she gets to go to all the games, sit in the best seats.
Oh, lovely.
Any concert, she's up in the front row.
Yeah.
And, you know, she gets to, it's like make a wish every day.
Right. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And so who does her parents know this is going down?
Her parents are not in the picture. It's just Nana.
No, and Nana's.
Which is Grammy.
Yeah, Grammy. And Grammy's like a pint quart short, right?
Or she's just, Grammy's tough.
Oh, really? Grammy's tough.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she's got. We don't know yet if she really is in on it, the kid.
Okay.
It could really just be, at this point, I believe, Munchausen by proxy.
Oh, interesting. Nothing's really conscious, nothing. Okay, interesting.
But it could be.
Okay.
But I don't really know. I'm only into 2 hours.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, not to bring everybody down.
But that's why I said chemo kid.
Yeah. Well, not to bring everybody down, but I was listening to... I find this fascinating because I was listening to a classic Corolla episode, and he was interviewing Erin Brockovich, and she's getting it. Now, I don't know when this was; could have been a couple years ago. She was interviewing
trap.
Yeah, that's okay. We're going to keep going. But she was interviewing this. He was interviewing Erin Brockovich, talking about her new website. And what she is doing is she is tracking all cases of cancer that come up. Mm-hmm. And because we don't connect with it off, you know, beyond, you know, cross state lines. And so, and a lot of times we don't track it. Like you may have been exposed to a carcinogenic in one state, but because you moved mm-hmm. a couple of times, mm-hmm. you know, and then it you know, express itself, you know, you might go, oh, I got it here. Yeah.
Well, also too, like considering that where we live, you know, there's like Gary, Indiana, and yeah. Chicago, and then, you know, Michigan. Right. So there could be three states affected
right,
there.
Exactly.
And if they don't do state
exactly,
lines.
Exactly. But what the weirdest part is that, stop a second, because I don't know what's going on.
Shoot.
Continue. Okay. Well, the weirdest part about this all is that they mentioned that Beverly Hills High School is built on a oil refinery or some kind of oil rig.
What?
Underground oil rig.
Yeah.
And that truly there were many kids who, like 400 kids in a 10-year span that got like cancer from Beverly Hills.
Wow.
And it's all because
they went to this one high school.
Exactly.
And that's probably a rich high school.
Sure enough, right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like the kids were getting cancer because they were eating lead paint.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so they kind of slipped it on. And I didn't know anything about this.
Right.
And I thought it was fascinating that first off, here is this oil rig. They called it an oil rig. And I think it's like a place where they could get the oil from. But I guess under mm-hmm. L.A., there's just tons and tons of oil
fields.
I guess they have the mm-hmm. world, like in the United States, like the third or fourth highest reserve of oil.
Oh, my God.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just kind of weird. But I was when you said chemo, I'm like, isn't that
yeah.
bizarre?
Yeah.
That, first of all, this is going on that we built a high school on top of it. Like, how
that
can
must
we
have been,
mass this
that must
ugly
have been
piece
the 50s.
Of, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's kind of how they put like golf courses over landfills.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Make the most beautiful golf course over this huge landfill of, you know, simmering, smoldering,
yeah.
whatever.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, in like South Elgin, there is this small ski resort, literally small ski resort, and it's on top of
it's a hill
but it is a it
under
is
a landfill
under a landfill yeah.
What can we do with this landfill now that it's full? Ski hill
golf
course.
That was genius.
Putting range,
genius. But now I think, well, yeah. Wait a
daycare
minute. It does daycare. Or how about this, we just put grass over it and have like tons and tons of goats.
Oh, that's sweet.
Let them just munch.
No, tons and tons of goats, and then like every like goat yoga.
Yeah, do goat yoga.
Come yeah. and do goat yoga.
You know, here's a dealio about goat yoga. It always looks so cute, but they never say, you never see where they poop or pee.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're wild animals. They're not housebroken.
No, they're goats.
They're goats. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, and they climb on top of you when you're doing
the whole point, right?
Or they go under you.
Doug and I last night, we were so adventurous last night. We stayed in, had a Culver's dinner, and then watched Alaskan bush people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're no longer in Alaska, by the way. They're in Washington State.
It's Washington bush people.
Yes, exactly. And there's one or two
kids
missing.
Like,
I'm like, where the hell are they?
Uh-oh.
They may have just decided that I got a little cash here from this show. I mean,
I got to break away before.
I got to break away now. Yeah. Let's just break away. You know, and but the most
fascinating. It was kind of obvious with those Alaskan bush people that there were a couple of kids that needed to stay.
Yeah.
And a couple that needed to leave.
That yeah. should have left.
Yeah.
And there was one kid, I just feel, he's an adult man now, of course, but I just feel a little bit sad for him because I think he probably is not undiagnosed, but he might be off his meds. He's just exceptionally hyper. Like,
is he the fish killer?
Yeah, the fish killer.
Yeah,
that grabs a fish and then beats him up fast because he doesn't want him to suffer.
He thinks he doesn't want the fish to suffer, so he grabs a fish out of the lake or whatever,
and then pounds it,
like just like beats the crap out of it,
and then it's dead.
And then thank God I did it the humane way.
Right.
I'm like,
dude, I don't know. I don't know if that's humane.
Yeah.
There was one scene where we see him paint. They're now all deciding to live separately, but on the same mountain. And
they got their own. It's like a condo mountain.
Right. Bear, that's the guy's name. Yeah. He has containers, you know, and they had to put him on top of the mountain, you know, and so forth. And he decided that he wanted to paint one of his containers, like a decorative thing.
Sure.
Now he goes, and it's not just painting, it's how you paint that is so creative. He's like, I want some, you know, some fist things, and I want some, you know, so he'll dab his fist into paint and, mm-hmm. you know, punch the container.
Sure.
All this stuff. Now, sure. We don't really see him complete the whole thing, but when it's done, it looks really good. And I think to myself, now I think like I'm a moron, because I really thought for a split second, man, that guy's creative.
Yeah.
He's uber creative. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, oh, bullshit. The producer just dropped his camera and like, let's just add a few lines here, a few lines here. Now it's gorgeous. Now the weird part is when they put the two containers together.
He's got a two-container condo?
Yes, he's getting a two-container condo.
That is not fair. Now, I've seen that done on HGTV. Yes. I mean, you can live in that.
You can live
in
that.
That's a home.
That's a home. Exactly right.
Like the first container is living room, dining room, kitchen. Second container is bathroom, bedroom.
Exactly. And these were not 20-foot containers, I don't think. They weren't 40. You know, I bet they were 20-footers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they weren't 40-footers. Mm. I would know. But so 20 by 16, that's a decent-sized room.
Yes, that is.
Maybe they were 40-footers, now I'm thinking about it. Well, 20 by 40, that's not a bad size.
That's huge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the dealio, though, was this. When he got the two together, I don't know if it was...
Did he put them in an L shape?
No, he put them side by side.
Oh, see, that's where he needed help.
Yeah. He didn't have the space for it.
Is there a mom in the picture?
Yeah, but she didn't, you know, he did it
She lets them do whatever they want.
Exactly.
Of course.
So, but here is the dealio, though. Here's the real dealio. He put his artwork in the middle. So, you know, no one's going to see it. So the painting that he did in the side of his
head, no.
It's like inside, you know? So like he was going to cut that open to go into the other trailer.
Oh.
Or nobody's going to see it
because
it's, you know,
of course.
Pushed up against the other side.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was bizarro.
That's bizarro.
But here's the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because of the goat situation, because this is how my mind goes.
Mm-hmm.
The most fascinating thing that they did was that the dad, they have a billy goat. So mm-hmm. I guess it's a male goat if it's mm-hmm. named Billy.
Yeah.
And the dad hates the goats, hates billy goats in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get rid of this billy goat. And the daughter, she goes, I've already named him and I'm in love. And I don't think it's fair that I should get, he goes, then you're going to fix him because I'm not going to have a male billy goat mm-hmm. just run around.
Trying to, you know what.
Yeah, exactly. And so the way you do this, which I did not know. I thought you just cut it off, right?
Yeah.
Cut off the testicles?
Yeah.
No, you put a rubber band around them, and they just naturally die off.
Yeah.
You know.
Did that to Norm.
Did you?
Yeah. It works.
Did it? Good. I'm glad. Except now you complain like, damn, it's got no testosterone. Yeah, that's right. That's
I want those rubber bands back.
Yeah. I need those rubber bands. But the whole problem was they had to keep getting bigger and bigger rubber bands because they couldn't fit the balls inside the rubber band.
Whoa.
And they're like, and so at some
And they're way out in the, who knows where they're at in Washington State.
Right, exactly.
where do you get big rubber bands?
Right.
Well, Amazon. Amazon drone.
Yeah, exactly. It's an actual tool that they use. And then for whatever reason, you know, then finally they got the ones that would fit bull testicles. Like mm-hmm. this size has to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, but she still struggled by getting them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got it. And boy, he was not a happy
camper.
He's
not a happy camper.
No.
See, I this is where we need to bring the guy in that pounds the fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he would have said, oh,
that's not humane enough.
Yeah.
Just walk around with this big rubber band on your balls all day long. I think that would be annoying. I think it'd be easier just to snip them.
I would think so, too.
Get it over with.
Or you just come in and, like, punch them off. Yeah. Keep punching until they're dead. Keep punching.
Poor Billy Goat.
Poor Billy Goat.
He's like, get me out of this place.
I think his name might actually be Billy. Mm-hmm. Billy the Goat.
She named him.
I think
she fell in love.
Yes. And
he said, okay, you can keep Billy, but
right. Right, exactly, exactly.
You have to and so rubber band is nuts.
One of the kids somehow, I don't know how this is possible, met a girl, fell in love, got married, and is having a baby.
On the mountain?
Yes. Now,
do they have their own container?
They're living in a tent-like thing.
Like a yurt.
A yurt, but not nearly as big or as cute.
So kind of like a turt.
Yes.
Kind of a combination.
Like a turd. It looks more like a turd.
Yeah.
But their goal is, there's a place locally, I don't know how local, mm-hmm. that is dismantling their building, and it's built out of cylinder blocks, so those, you know, sure. Concrete.
Yeah.
And if they dismantle this building, they get to keep all the concrete blocks. Mm-hmm. So him and his wife want to build a castle.
That's probably like three rooms for them.
A castle. Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Now, he keeps saying during the episode, I fell asleep through this quite a few times, and I don't know why we
were
watching this.
Damn you, Julie.
It's now fascinating to me how I'm attracted to this show and going, I think you're just a moron. Because, I mean, literally, these guys have been getting, I mean, they've been on a show now for probably 10 years.
Yeah, they
right?
haven't got any money saved.
Well, and also, yeah.
Are they not allowed?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. You can have all this money, but you're not allowed to. Yeah, whatever happened to her?
I don't know.
Yeah. I hope she saved her money.
I think the mom took control of all the money overall. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And yada, 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 whatever that means.
Yeah.
But what was very interesting to me is that the idea, you know, the mom, the girlfriend, the wife of this guy, Noah, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
She's like obviously 8-9 months pregnant. I mean, like mm-hmm. she's in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like picking up these concrete blocks, mm-hmm. and she's like, I'm allowed to take care of, you know, I'm in it to win it as well. I want to have this castle built before the baby comes. Yeah.
Are they special ed by any
chance? No, I don't think so. Okay. I think they just have big dreams. Their body got a little more than they chew. And really, what does that mean?
A castle.
I mean, like,
do they have the mortar for the castle?
I don't know.
Is there going to be a moat for the castle?
Possibly, to keep the other relatives away.
Yeah.
Because this will be the best looking thing in that place, right?
Yeah.
Well, and it was funny.
I feel sorry for that baby.
Don't.
No?
Don't feel sorry because, I mean, that baby won't know any difference.
Yeah.
It'd be like, this is just my family. I don't know.
I have a question for you. Speaking of babies. I have, this week, I saw a man walking down the street with a baby Bjorn.
Oh, yeah, okay. Lovely. Okay.
But the baby, it was a tiny baby.
Okay.
Tiny baby and a baby Bjorn. But the baby was facing outward.
Yes.
Not inward.
Right.
Oh, do you think that's okay?
That's what daddies do.
That's what daddies do?
I think so.
Oh. See, because I was like, if I was a little kid and I saw this throng of people just coming at me continuously, I'd be like,
insulted
in my
and
pants.
Insulted, like,
I would rather just be, I'd just rather be facing in, putting my ear on daddy's heartbeat,
right?
And just like, I don't, you know, and just feeling like the walk,
right?
Da, 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 da.
Right.
And I don't want to know what's going by me or anything else. But this baby just kind of had like, you know, deer caught in headlights. Look.
I understand. I don't know.
What's your opinion on that?
I don't have much of a one.
Not really.
Because my feeling is a
baby Bjorn facing forward or backward.
See, because you are connected to the spirit, which, you know, you always are like, oh, that child must feel overwhelmed by the world around them. This is crazy.
I know if I was in that place, I would be overwhelmed.
I'm feeling overwhelmed by the world around me. This is nuts. I would be like, you know, the baby's like needing stimulation. He's like, what's going on? This is awesome. Look at this. Look at this. Now, there probably is a rule, like, you know, 4 or 5 months, baby facing in,
mm-hmm.
6 months and over, baby facing out.
You think there's a baby Bjorn rule?
Well, just like there is with car seats.
You know,
under 2 years, baby facing backwards.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 years, baby facing forward. Now, they're trying to change this law to make it like 4 years. Baby has, or 3 years, something.
Baby,
really,
we're looking backwards for 3 years?
Yes. Now, this in theory, because they said the research is out, it's much safer for the baby to be facing backwards for a lot longer. Yes, that might be true.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing about Jack, you know, the one time he was like just almost two, and they forgot that they hadn't put his seat in yet. They were getting it, but he walks into his car, he sits down in his seat with and looking forward, and he just says, "Thank you, thank you," and they all heard it going. Oh, and we're like, oh, sorry, bud. You gotta get in your car seat facing the opposite direction. And he's like, no.
Oh, please.
No. When did this happen? Why? Why? So after age two, the kid really is wants to converse with parents, wants to see the world. And I think that the consequences don't, the pros weigh out the cons for changing.
Like, right.
Deciding at 2 years, the kid knows what's going on. Yeah. He doesn't want to look backwards and just look at the seat.
I think whoever is making those rules.
Yes, tell me.
I mean, they're probably 85-year-old men.
Right.
Because.
And also, they're probably. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, and it's probably the same people that have the rules that there should be no seatbelts in school buses.
Right.
Because none of that shit makes sense.
Right, exactly.
None of it makes sense.
I also think that if I was a curmudgeon grandpa, I'm like...
And you want to get back at your kid?
No, mostly like, and I have to drive my grandkids someplace.
Yeah.
I really want them facing the other way. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, I got to drive it.
It's weird because like with Doug and, you know, Hillary and Dave, anytime there's any kind of anything, it's always musical car seats,
right?
Are they end up taking, you know, well, I'll just take my car because otherwise all the car seats have to come out, and
right,
and so it ends up like somebody's car is usually in Rockford and the other person's car, and it's, you know, it's always like a dealio, you know.
Right. Well, today, speaking of Douglas, we have an experiment going. If he listens to the podcast, he will let me know. I doubt it.
He never listens to the podcast.
Which is good because I can talk about it as much as I want then. This is my cathartic place I can go.
Yeah.
So
Your therapy session.
It's my therapy. If I don't typically say, hi, babe, on my text first before I have to say anything else to him. Hi, babe. Now, he doesn't usually say, you know, hi, babe, back or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's very short and curt. Mm-hmm. But if I don't say hi, babe, first, his next response to me usually is, what's wrong?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Like, is everything okay? And I'm like, oh, that's
If you're not exceptionally happy.
Yes, exactly.
And cheerful.
Yeah.
But I he just does this. Oh, he doesn't even say okay. He'll go okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
And so today I
But you have to go, hi, babe.
Yeah.
It's Sunday morning.
I got to give you an emoji.
Emojis. And you're like, oh. I like go, oh.
And I go, I am doing preventative emojiing. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I got to have to deal with the fact, like, what's wrong? Yeah. Nothing's wrong. I tell you, nothing's wrong. We have
an experiment. Julie was kind enough today to allow me to have an experiment.
Yes. And the experiment was initially, I wasn't going to send him, I drew a text out getting what our plans were for the day. And I go, oh, I didn't put hi, babe, on there. Maybe I should go back and do it. And then you're like, no. Let's see what will happen if you don't. And I said, but there's already one emoji in my text. Should I remove the emoji as well? He goes, yes, remove the emoji. So it's not an angry text.
No.
It's a text of very straightforward, only facts, ma'am.
Right.
Just the facts.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And so forth. So.
And he did not respond at all.
He hasn't responded at all.
So we think he could be dead.
Yes, exactly.
Either that or a church.
Most likely at church. Well, not at church, and in the parking lot of church, dropping his brother off.
Yeah, because that's as close as he gets to a church.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
He gets to the parking lot.
Exactly. That's for sure. So, like I said, I will check real quick. I don't think we've gotten anything going on yet, which is crazy. Oh, no, he did. And he starts off with saying, oh, just oh. And he goes, I can leave too, because I told my dad to bring my car as well, wherever we're going, because I need to be home at a certain time.
And he said, I can leave too?
Yeah, meaning like, we can take one car.
happily, too.
That's so funny.
Yes. That is not the kid ever, ever.
And I'm okay trying this, but he will be surprised when I say,
I'm here.
At 6 o'clock. I'm out the door, you know, at 6 o'clock, baby.
You know, you mentioned Dan Savage earlier in the show. You said that, you know, where our movie was being shown on Sunday night, which was a great experience, by the way. If, you know, we made this six-minute movie for the 48-hour film festival.
Yeah.
And it got shown at the Music Box movie theater last Sunday night. And we all went, Dad and me and you. And it is quite an experience, isn't it, to see your movie
100%
on the big screen. It's just you can't even. And I asked Norm. I said, How did you feel? Because Norm was the star, basically, of this little. You got to go see it. Go to Instagram, Christine, Marie, and Julie. Follow us. For sure. How many followers do we have right now? We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
3,000, 4,000.
Yeah.
No. Not quite as many as The Rock.
Right.
Do you hear me, Rock?
Yeah.
But anyway, so we found out. Oh, but anyway, I said to Dad real quickly, how'd you like seeing yourself on the big screen? He went, I think I look like a movie star.
Yes.
And, you know, he kind of does.
He kind of does.
The way we had him
shot. He could be a
character
actor. He could be a really good character
actor. He really
could.
Yeah. So, people, go check it out.
Well,
but I want to say one more thing.
Yeah, go for it.
Unless you were going to say something about the movie.
No, go for
it. I wanted to say something about Dan Savage.
Yeah.
Because he was at the Music Box Theater just like four nights later.
Yeah.
And we were listening to him this week. And I guess I've been wanting to talk about this because I found it fascinating.
I'm curious what you're going to say.
Oh, because a caller called in.
Yeah.
And she was very concerned that she has a kink that not many people are understanding. But she finds it fascinating about herself. And she tells Dan about this kink. And Dan goes, you know, you're right. This is an up-and-coming kink. And I've been finding it more and more.
Okay, and what is it?
And he said, so we're kind of having to deal with this kink, which is fine.
Having to deal with it. What the hell is this kink?
Because we're having to find out more and more about it. And this woman called, and her kink, she's a young woman. She's in her mid to late 20s from the Midwest.
Hey.
And she's a cisgender.
Okay.
And her kink, she said, I'm not sure the name of it. I've had to look it up in terms of, you know, in the kink book. And it's called domesticism.
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 Okay.
And Dan goes, yeah, we've been hearing about this.
Yes.
And he said, you know, for generations, straight face, for generations, this has kind of been like something left over from slaveholders, where people had to, you know, women especially, grew up having to be, quote unquote, domesticated, being like, you know, the cook, the cleaner, the householder. And she said, I just find it, I don't know what it is, but like when my man comes over, I want to be in an apron making him dinner, and I want to have the house clean and you know, candles lit. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're into domesticism. And I'm like, oh my God, I have had a kink.
You have mother. I have had a kink my whole life. How'd you feel? Did you get turned on?
I got turned on, and she said, the thing is, she goes, we're actually adding to our kink. She goes, sometimes I'll make a great big meal and it'll be all fine, except for maybe I will have lightly burnt the mac and cheese. And then because of that, my man has to put me over his lap and give me a spanking.
Oh, interesting.
He has to spank me because I burnt the mac and cheese.
Oh, so
they add a little spice to the the kink.
Yeah. Now, if Dad, what do you think? If you ever burnt the mac and cheese, and which I can't imagine, but Dad,
which is a code for something, I don't know what.
Would you have ever wanted Dad to take you over his knee and spank you?
We were talking about that. I can remember when we were first married.
Yeah,
I tried to make a cake from scratch because in my household, my mom only made cakes from boxes.
Right.
I never even knew that you could.
Right.
In Norm's household, they never even heard of boxes.
Right.
You made a cake from scratch.
Right.
And so I was like a young married woman, and I tried to make a cake from scratch, and of course it did not turn out.
Of course.
And his parents were coming over, And what I had decided in my young mind was to hold this cake together, which was not cooperating. I had about 50 or 60 toothpicks.
Oh, geez.
Holding it all together. Okay. And I, you know, I iced it. Uh-huh. And I just, but I thought, well, you know what? I'll just tell people.
Right.
When we cut it, that there might, you know, just be careful.
You should have, you know what you could have done? Made cake balls.
Julie, we didn't even know about cake balls in those days.
But some domesticated, some girl in the kinking.
Into domesticism?
Yeah, would have gone, what am I going to, oh no, my husband's going to come home and I'm going to get spanked. What am I going to do with all this crumbly cake? I will make it into cake balls. I don't know.
But I went, you know, Norm came, they came home and he saw the cake. He goes, oh, it's beautiful. And I'm like, it's full of toothpicks. And I'm just crying. And it was kind of like, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Like, Normano, don't eat the cake. It's full of toothpicks.
Yeah. He wouldn't have gotten spanked.
Yeah.
He just was like going, oh, Chrissy.
Oh, Chrissy.
Not toothpicks.
Oh, Lucy. That's,
Lucy.
You got some splaining to do.
Exactly. He would never have taken me over his knee and spanked me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Not even in jail. Fun.
I might have done that to him. I don't know.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That would have been your kink. Yeah. Wouldn't it be so funny if now, like, you know,
50 years later.
Well, no, now, like, the men go, you know, I don't know. I have this kink. I have this. I get so turned on by this idea that I go and I really try to find a job that provides a full living
for my family.
And my wife
and the girl, she stays home. And, like, when I come home at night, I got a nice meal on the table.
Yeah,
the
kids I'm just getting totally turned on by this idea.
The house
and, like,
is straight.
I love my kids. And when I walk through the door, the kids run to me.
Happy to see me.
They're happy to see me. What is wrong with me?
What's wrong with me?
Because, oh, my God. We're hearing about this.
We're kind of hearing about this, people.
We're hearing
about
scary. This kink.
The kids have done their homework by 7. Yeah. They're in bed by 8.
And
my wife and
other.
I have 2 hours together.
Yes.
What?
What?
This is crazy.
What's going on?
Nobody's on Facebook all night long.
Yes. One salary can support a whole family. Yeah.
We live small, but it's great.
Yeah. There is a
we live
to
small,
convince.
But I feel grand.
Yeah. We I have earned the respect of my children. I just don't see them every other weekend, though. Wouldn't that be a weird...
That's a kink, baby.
That's a kink. It's a kink.
That's a Hallmark card.
Well, you know what, though? It would be awesome to see how our families have expanded in their...
Definition,
which is cool. I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I have to be. I'm about as great garden as you can get. You know, I'm like, if somebody analyzed my life, I was talking to my Aunt Roseanne, and she's like, well, tell me about your guy, Julie. I don't know what to call him. I mean, you've been together for so long. Can you still call him a boyfriend? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Not again.
Not the boyfriend.
Can I bring the gun out?
Should I call him my man friend? My lover? I just call him Doug. Okay,
he's just Doug.
We're perfect together. Everybody just chill out. You know, and I go, you know, Aunt Roseanne, I don't know what to tell you. I go, I've been blessed to have parents that I still like. I don't mind hanging out with them. I would prefer it.
That's the problem. We get along too well.
We really do.
We were like riding along together going into the Chicago.
Yeah.
And we're all doing bits.
Exactly.
We got 2.5 hour ride into Chicago.
And we're
going
all
to
doing
the,
bits.
And we're just doing bits.
I know. And then
we're like going, oh my God, we're like having too much fun here.
Yeah, there's a problem.
And then what's the wrong with
by us? The way, we cannot say any stuff outside the car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always like the
here's the
disclaimer.
Disclaimer for Normano, because he's like, well, this is funny though,
right? This is funny. This is a bit.
Yeah, this is
funny.
But
yeah, but
this is
like inside the car.
Yeah, inside the car.
Humor.
Funny.
Don't take this outside.
Yeah, don't take it out. Otherwise,
he said to me the other day. He said, "You know, I was listening to Jordan Peterson, and Jordan said, you know, you're lucky. You consider yourself lucky if you have one person in your life that will be willing to listen to you and say to you." That is great to say to me, but don't say that in the outside world.
Yes.
And he came over and he kissed my forehead.
Yes.
Goes, you do that to me all the time. And I do. I let him run with his stuff, and because he thinks it's hilarious. Yeah. He says, is this a good one?
Or like this good deep thought. And you're like,
it's good for me. This is inside thought.
Yeah.
But don't say that in the outside world. And this week was Grandparents' Day, and Normano went because I had an eye doctor's appointment at the same time. He said that Greg said to him, like probably within like 10 minutes of walking into the church, that he had said, don't be racist, don't say anything racist. Or he said something like, and I don't really know what he said.
Right.
He said, I think he walked into the church and said, he goes, he goes, there look like a bunch of child molesters in here.
Oh, yes.
Something like that. And it was like, strike one, ding.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, this is quite multicultural. I don't know if he said multicultural.
Right.
But he might have said a lot of races are here. Greg was like, ding.
Yeah. I can't imagine what Dad would say that would cross any kind of lines. Except
Oh, really?
Well, really, kind of.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
I get you.
You know, I mean, some will say.
He's not mad. He's not really.
He's not
racist at all.
No.
That's why he says these things.
Right.
Because here's the thing. Greg prides himself, that's your brother, that his kids don't see color.
Right.
Dad sees color, but he doesn't care.
Right.
Not only does that, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Not at all, because he attacks everything. Like, including, I don't know where I'm going with this. But anyway.
He doesn't attack everything.
No. And I think because he's still in costume from the movie, he still had his earrings on. He still had his beard.
Yeah.
And I think he did kick. I think he goes, do you think I'm going to child molester?
Going into the school. For Grandparents' Day.
He goes, is this wrong?
And you know, for people to go, oh, you know, I do like your earrings. He finally took them off.
Yes.
He's done with them.
He
said, Chrissy, my holes are going to close. Is that okay with you?
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, baby, go for it.
Yeah. That was just for the
movie.
It was
just for the movie.
Just for the movie.
And I said, take the beard off. And so now he's a clean shaven man.
Exactly.
He's a clean shaven man.
Well, wasn't it a shame Doug said to me,
no earrings. But he kept his tattoo.
There you go. I was talking to Doug, and he will say stuff to me, and I will say, I am grateful you're telling me this stuff. And I'm totally cool you tell me this stuff. Just don't tell anybody else. And typically, it's just some kind of crazy rant that he's on.
Yeah. Would he tell us? But he would tell somebody else. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
It is a big problem.
I hope not. But he would. And it's mostly because he's feeling out of fear or depression or just disappointment. And he'll go on a rant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying. This is highly suspect, or this is sad, or this is pisses you off, or whatever. Now tell nobody but me, because you don't want this to. And typically it might be like a family dynamic where he's like, you know, and I just go, just let it be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let it be.
Right.
Tell me, no one else, and so forth.
Right.
But he was,
good that he has that about with you.
Last night, though, he goes, what are you thinking? He says it to me frequently. And I go by life, but I never tell him what I'm thinking.
No.
And I should, because I mean, I probably hold a shitload back from him.
Right.
You know, for a variety of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
One is I'm basically spent by the time I get to his house. I've already shared my shit.
But also,
I've already been analyzed.
I bet if you really did say a real feeling.
Right.
There would be no way he would hold it.
Well, I understand.
In a nice container.
Well, of course
help
not.
You,
no. Don't
think like that. Or
well, right. And I can't expect him to. I can't expect him to provide that because he doesn't have the same background. I mean, he hasn't gone to school for therapy. You know, he's not woke, you know, he's not contemplative. He hasn't read for improvement.
He's never heard 1 hour of Jordan Peterson. Yeah.
He might have heard a half an hour because we had a little bit of a ride and I wanted to hear something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, this is interesting, you know, but I don't know if he, you know, listens on his own. Typically, when he's by himself in the car, he listens to MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
That's his default mechanism.
Ooh,
yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so take it as you want, as you will, you know, and so forth. That's it. And you know, so I feel like maybe I should try to expand that a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. We'll let, most likely I won't. We'll just let play as it rides.
Yeah,
or rise
you,
as it plays.
But you, listen, it's good enough. You don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
You don't want to scratch the surface.
I really don't. I have no desire to do that.
Just let it be.
Tell
Aunt Roseanne it's just boyfriend.
Yes.
And let it be at that.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, he's just my boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's how I introduce him. He's my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Of 20 plus years. He's my life partner. And that's just too much. He's not my life partner. I mean, I'll be with him for the rest of my life, but I don't want to go that far of a commitment.
It's so weird sometimes, though, to think that you will be with him for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Which means that in a lot
of
ways.
You'll be with him for the rest of
my life. But it also means that he'll get everything that I have. And so sometimes I think about that. Like, now, do I want Doug to see this or do I want to get rid of this?
Yeah.
Do I want Doug to have this or do I want to get rid of that?
I
it's very weird. Like, I have it in my will that I do not want Doug sleeping on my mattress. Here's the thing. I die, me dead, you get a new mattress.
Well, also, though, you've made it specifically clear that you don't want Doug living in this house.
I say set a match to it.
Yeah, you're like, just, I don't...
I put my heart and my soul.
Yes.
Every nail that we built in this house, every brick in the driveway.
Right.
Everything we painted.
Right.
And then he walks into it. I just.
Years later.
Yes. It's just not right. Or has he earned the right to do that then? Is that right? Care?
You don't care.
Yeah.
I asked
you this question this week.
Yeah, did you? What question did you ask
me?
Well,
I asked Dad this question.
Okay.
I said,
did you ask
here's
me this
the scenario. I asked you this question, too.
I
got two different answers.
Okay.
I posed this question to Norm. I said, okay, there's no going back. You've got to answer this question.
Right.
You're dead and you're in heaven,
uh-huh.
and you have to spend an eternity. It's like you have to find out. Now, you know, God's there, and he said, you've got to spend an eternity.
Right.
You've got a choice. Mama Joe, which is what he calls me,
uh-huh.
Julie, or Doug.
You did not say Doug.
I did say Doug.
Okay, okay, good.
I did say Doug.
For Dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Because he's like the third person in our lives.
Right, okay.
Right.
You didn't say Gray.
No, I didn't say
Gray. Okay, go ahead.
Because Gray's not in our lives that much, you know.
Yeah.
As much as Doug, you know. And so Dad goes, oh, I'd be a hard one because I really do like Julie. And we do get to talk about trucking all the time. He was like kind of sad. He goes, I guess I gotta choose you.
If I have to choose one.
Yeah. And then I posed the question to you.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you're in heaven.
Right.
And you have to make a choice.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
For eternity.
For eternity.
And it's Doug, Dad, or me.
Right.
And you first thing you said was, well, it wouldn't be Doug.
Right.
I was just like, oh, let me dog for it. And then, but I can't have you and Dad. And I go, no, it's got to be one or the other.
Right.
And then you go, well, I guess it'd be you because we're already, this feels
eternity.
Like an eternity.
Already. That's the exact same answer.
That's the exact same answer. But if it's like, I'm like, how am I going to be at two places at once? You're in heaven.
That's right.
You can do it.
So therefore, by proxy,
by local.
I am with Dad. Because Dad
shares we're going to be
eternity.
Together.
I share my eternity with you, therefore I share my eternity with Dad. Like A plus B plus equals C.
See. And then I did ask you this question. We were all together.
Yeah.
And I asked you, I said, we were talking about the host that we were going to be taking Holy Communion for 90 days. And I said, so there's all the three of us together all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, let's just consider this. So it's the triune.
Right.
It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And once again, you give another question. It's
like said,
it's like an Instagram question.
It's like a question. I said,
right. Who do you think you are?
Julie, who of the three of us, who would be the Father?
Right.
Who would be the Son? And who would be the Holy Spirit?
Right.
And it wasn't an easy question.
It wasn't, and
because
yes, it was.
It wasn't, and it was. You're right. Because it was once we figured out who was Jesus.
Well, no. It wasn't a question about the Holy Spirit.
No.
It was you. Right?
I get to be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just decided that was it.
Yeah,
that
was just it. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have said God, but I felt that would be too much for you.
Yeah.
I felt Spirit.
No, yeah.
So then we decided that Norm was God.
Norm was God.
I was a son. And Norm, because he likes to
Norman's a princess.
Yeah, he likes to think that everything he knows is going on.
Yeah.
But doesn't do any of the work, really.
Right,
like, right. I set it all up for you guys.
Yeah.
You're all set up.
It's all set up.
Yeah.
I'm resting.
Yeah, I'm
it's
resting.
It's the seventh day.
It's my seventh
and God
day.
Rested. Yeah. It's like he's like a princess. So yeah. That's how we figured Norm would be God.
Right.
And that left you as Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, activity person.
Right.
You're the one that's got to do all the technology.
You know God through the Son.
That's right. If you know me, you know the Father.
Yes, exactly. You're gonna know the miracle working. You know, like, oh, I'm making the bread go for miles and miles and miles. I'm making the wine.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to make it all work out.
I'm failing here and there. I can't be a
I got like
my
two
own
loaves
my
of bread and a fish, and I got to make it work to the end of the week.
Well, it's kind of cute because... Okay, I don't know how I would describe myself religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I know how
to describe you spiritually.
Yes.
But not religiously.
Right. Yeah. And because I would think that I'm always seeking.
Right.
I mean, I'm always, no, that's not even the right word. I'm always trying to get a deeper understanding. And
that's perfect.
And so that's where I would describe myself.
Yeah. A deeper and deeper meaning.
Right. And I'm not, I truly... in my mind see Jesus, the Holy, you know, Mother Mary, the Holy Spirit. I know why I see that, because you are my mother. And my dad's Lutheran, and you know, I grew up in church, so I have that program into me.
Right.
And I'm totally cool with that.
Right.
I mean, I feel I'm
like, programmed, right.
I'm programmed. I'm like, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with this program.
No.
It works spiritually.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not distorted in a way that hates anybody.
Right.
It's not. It doesn't exclude people.
Right.
It's very inclusive.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, everyone on board. Woohoo! You know, I'm all for.
Yeah.
All one under the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, all that stuff. You know.
Everybody's welcome here. QBC, JLMNOP.
Exactly. All of it. But I find it so interesting because I'll listen to a variety of different things. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to another guy who I know is very biblical, like literal biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
Oh, my God. I think I know where you're going with
this.
Well,
it was just so interesting to me because when I hear something that's so, like, literal...
Yeah.
I get taken back, but I'm like, you know, I appreciate you're all in on this, you know? And he was telling me, he was an older gentleman, he was telling me how he took a cross-country trip with his wife, and he goes, it was just, and I go, oh my God, isn't the country just beautiful? I go, you can take a lifetime to discover this, the United States. It's just so beautiful. And he goes, yes. And he was talking about going through the Utah, and he was mentioning, he goes, you know, like, isn't it wild though that some of these religious areas are some of the most beautiful places on earth, you know, like the Mormons have Utah, you know, and it's just so gorgeous. And he was naming off some of the other places, and it's just so beautiful. I go, yeah. He goes, isn't it just amazing that, you know, all these beautiful places and the mountains and you know, this was all created from the flood that God had sent to punish us and to make us, you know, realize the wrongs of our ways, you know, and in the aftermath, we were left this beautiful place to live. And I'm like,
what?
Yes. I go, that is one way of looking at that.
And that's like you said, yeah. And isn't it beautiful that this punishment that God gave us turned out to give us all this beauty?
Yes.
And I'm like, what? And then I thought, oh, I can see. Then I saw that you could beat your children.
Right.
And then they would turn out beautiful.
Yeah. Right. You can see how A plus B equals C, B plus C.
Yeah.
I can get that.
I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like, okay. Yeah. And I just thought, I mean, and the truth is, in a spiritual, archetypal, metaphorical way,
mm-hmm.
I could say, isn't it interesting how we could correlate this to that,
and
therefore, in a bigger sense of the word, there's always beauty that comes after pain.
Yes,
you know,
and I see that, and I love you for that,
right.
Because a lot of people could have heard that and went, whack job,
right?
Whoa, what a whack job! But you worked hard,
right,
to get to that place where that could lie as some truth for some person,
right?
But here's the thing,
yeah,
when he dies. I hope that when he meets God,
right,
God's going to go like, you know, dude, I'm a much bigger loving dude, you know, than right. than what you thought of me.
Right.
I just want you to know.
I want you to know that.
You had a, it was a pretty narrow view of me.
Right. Right.
But, you know, hey, it served you well.
Right.
You did okay. You didn't fuck around on your wife.
Right.
Because you were afraid of that. You were going to get your balls in a rubber band. But
you took the multiplying literally.
Real good.
Literally
be fruitful and multiply.
You did that.
You did that good.
You did that well.
But, you know, I just want you to know.
Right.
Here's a few things that, you know, you could have done a little next time around.
And then
and
what
he's going to go, what? There's
yeah.
a next time?
There's a what? Next time? Well, I mean, what if, though, I go to heaven and I meet the Spirit of God and I get the wisdom and I'm like, ooh, I was supposed to take this really literally. And I go, really literally? He goes, yeah, you kind of were.
I'm a literal God.
I'm a literal God. And also because your brain is so small that the metaphor, that you couldn't even touch the metaphor.
Yeah.
You couldn't figure it out in a global way.
Yeah.
That was for the other planets that had been around much longer than you guys.
Yeah.
And they were, they'd gone. But you, Julie, should have taken it more literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
You listen, Julie, you listen to too much Indigo Girls.
Yes, exactly. Galileo song, no.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Which, by the way, they're touring this year. I may go see them.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
God will be there.
Yeah, God will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to their album, Rites of Passage, which came out like either in the late 80s or early 90s, I think. I'm like, this is such a good album. Mm-hmm. It's such a good album, Rites of Passage. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh my God, they're coming. And then I just had this compulsion to like connect with my old friends and like, let's go.
Let's all get in a group and go.
Let's go. Exactly. Exactly.
So speaking of concerts, can we talk about what Dad's doing this tonight?
Yes.
He's going to Aretha Franklin Theater in Detroit.
Woohoo!
Motor City.
Yeah.
Motown.
Exactly.
Dad's going to be on Martin Luther King Drive in Motown.
Yes. Not really. And then he's...
No. Aretha Franklin Drive.
I don't know what it is. But anyway, it is going to Aretha Franklin Drive, picking up a concession trailer for the Soul Circus, and he's bringing it to Chicago, Illinois.
For the Soul Circus.
For the Soul
there.
Circus.
Yeah.
And we're not really sure what the Soul Circus is. We thought it was Cirque du Soleil, but done with Soul.
Yes.
And
It is. It's a faux Cirque du Soleil.
It says family,
it's
soul,
it's Midwestern.
Music.
Yeah. No titties.
Right.
So it's family.
Family oriented.
Yeah.
So Soul Circus.
No titties.
Yes.
No boobies.
Uh-uh.
Do
they have that in Cirque
du Soleil? Cock socks? Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Cirque du Soleil.
Okay, I don't know.
In
either.
My mind, it's all boobies.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and cock socks.
Okay.
Can I just say cock socks again?
Yes, please do.
I just love that word.
You just love that word.
I do.
And it makes you laugh.
It makes me laugh.
So we hope that he has a good time.
Yes.
And we hope he enjoys it. We had to download a new app so that they can be tracked.
Yeah,
they gotta
track him.
Yeah, gotta track him, and so
that's like us going into his 20th trip. Yeah, okay,
exciting.
Yeah,
and
yada
yada yada. So, how's the show, girlfriend?
Well, it was no rubber band around the balls, but it was great.
It was great. It was great.